Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I'm doing a series on three things in the Bible, and that series, let me use that mic.
That's better?
Yeah. It's muffled. Let's see. These are new mics. I've just come off of doing a series of sevens. Now I'm doing a series of threes. Last week, we touched upon the three things that deals with time. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, there must come a time of refreshing. And in Isaiah, the Bible says, refreshing is when you receive a greater understanding of the Bible.
Come on.
That's the refreshing, which the Bible says that the people of God did not receive because they were not open-minded or teachable. Therefore, that refreshing did not come. And that refreshing is so important that the Bible actually says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says that if you are not refreshing by a greater revelation of the Bible, that your sins will not be forgiven. The Bible even says to repent of your sins, that when the time of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, your sins may be blotted out. So the Bible said there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time to weep. There's a time to stop weeping. The Bible says that God does all things by time and for every purpose under the sun that men may fear before him. And in that same chapter of Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15, It says that which was is now, that which to be is already been, and God requires what is past based upon time. In fact, the Bible says that the great timekeeper will eventually, in the Bible says, Acts and also in Revelations chapter 10, he says, he will hold up his hands and swear by him which is in heaven that soon time shall be no more. There's a time frame for everything. I'm talking about the three of things. The temple of God was built upon the threefold foundation. There were three disciples, Peter, James, and John, that followed the Lord wherever he went. The Bible says that there will be a threefold message in the latter days to bring forth the 144,000. And there are three phases of time in which the Lord says will prepare his people for the coming of the Lord. It's a time of refreshing that I just said last week. And then there's the time of the restoration, the time of restoring. Do you know there can be no rapture? Babylon talks about the rapture. There can be no rapture, which means simply caughting up. There can be no caughting up to the Lord unless everybody in the world has a knowledge of the Sabbath in time. Do you know the Bible says that the Sabbath is prophesied in the Bible that the Sabbath would be taken away? Right. There's a prophecy in the Bible that says the Sabbath will be taken away and put under foot. And then there's a prophecy that says it will actually be restored.
Amen.
There's a prophecy that says the Bible actually predicts that the Sabbath will be cast down and then it will be restored. That's amazing. So in looking at this, we see a foundation. The Bible says there's a time of restoration or the restoring of all things. That means Jesus cannot come until everyone has a knowledge of the original Sabbath that God gave to Adam and Eve.
Come on.
Christ cannot come unless everyone has a knowledge of the original truth before the captive put the glory.
Look at that.
All original truths must be restored before Christ come back, that everyone will have a knowledge of what is the truth and what is the lie. And once the truth comes, showing the difference between light and darkness, the truth and the lie, the Lord's going to make sure that every man has a knowledge of the truth. Then he will say, now that you have that knowledge, choose. Mm-hmm. And now that I give you a chance to choose, now that truth is restored, I will judge you based upon the decisions that you make. Now that you have a knowledge, what is truth, what is error, what is a lie, what is a dogma, what is a Sabbath, what is Sunday.
Come on.
Who is the Pope? Who is Jesus?
Come on now.
Once you have a knowledge of the truth, I will now judge you. But God cannot bring judgment right now, Chris. Because I know that your wife is sincere. How did God look at judging her? For the keeping of the Sabbath when she had no knowledge of it.
Wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair. So is the judge, it's the time of what? Refreshing? It's the time of what?
Restoring?
Or the time of restoration?
Yes.
And then it's the time of regeneration when the Lord shall restore or regenerate the understanding of who Christ is, and the Bible says the regeneration of the Son of Man and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So three things, the Bible says there must be a time for these three things. And nobody's talking about these three things as far as time. There's a time. God reserved the time to be refreshing. Give you time to study His Word. To
come
show
on.
Yourself approved unto God.
Come on.
The workman need not be ashamed.
Right.
He's giving you time to understand the truth and for it to be restored. And then He's giving you a time to receive the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Son of Man and the Holy Spirit. Three things the Lord has reserved a time. But time is running out. It's time to study. Time is running out. It's time to be refreshing. Time is running out. You better find out what is truth and what is error.
Come on.
Time is running out. The Lord says, I'm trying to make time. But there's a time when the Father says, I will no longer sit at His right hand. Because the Father says in Hebrews 1, come, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Come on.
The Lord is not going to sit there forever. I can imagine the Father turning over to Jesus and saying, get ready to get up. Because I'm restoring all things. Get ready to get up.
Come on.
Because I'm refreshing my people. Get ready to get up.
Come on.
Because the regeneration is coming. Get ready to get up.
Come on.
There's some lying wonders down there.
Yeah.
Get ready to get up. Get ready to get up.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Not long.
How long?
Not long.
The Bible said in Daniel 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up. But the Father said, get on up.
Come on.
It's time to keep the Sabbath. Get on up. My people are refreshing. Get on up. I breathe upon them the Holy Ghost. Get on up. All things have been made ready.
Amen.
Come on.
Sunday, you a lying wonder.
Yeah.
Confessional box, you a lying wonder.
Yeah.
Emotional Holy Ghost without knowledge, you a lying wonder.
Come on.
How long?
Not long.
Okay, I will rename the sermon. How long?
Not long.
I say how long?
Not long.
He's coming.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
You got me off my subject. Three of a kind. Today I'm presenting, say it with me.
Charity, faith, and hope.
Where is this found in the Bible?
First Corinthians.
First Corinthians 13. I'm not going to teach this the way the average preacher teaches this. The average preacher says, every time you say charity, you say love. It's in the Bible where Paul talked about love and Paul talked about charity.
Come on.
Ministers shoot down the truth and they take away the meaning of this word when they say every time we get to charity, say love. Love has its meaning. Charity has its meaning. Let's break it down and see what it really means.
Amen.
You see, there's no such thing as inactive charity. No such thing. There is a thing as inactive or non-productive love. You can have love simply by sin. But you cannot have charity unless there's action.
Uh-oh.
Charity is love in
action. It's a verb.
Charity is love in
action.
So Paul talked about charity and Paul talked about love. And ministers that break this sermon down and say love, and they make this word love. This
word does not mean love.
Make it plain.
This word does not mean love. And there are three types of love. Can I break this down?
Please.
Let's break this down. Throw me your pen. Three types of love. You got eros. What?
Eros.
And then you have agape.
Agape.
You have what?
Agape.
And then you have philios or before you leave this place, you will know what kind of love you have. Martin Luther King broke these three types of loves down when he was preaching one day. And he said, what kind of love do you have? And he broke it down. There are three types of loves, but turn with me right quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What did I say?
1 Corinthians 13.
Now there are three things: charity, faith, and hope. And the way I break this down, you've never heard before. Not the way I'm rated. This is an advanced school of prophets. We are a ministry that trains rather than just teach. This is more than a sermon. This is a breakdown and an understanding of we must learn, and then live what we have learned, and then share it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the Bible says, and I'm going to read verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. That means the Lord says you're just sounding off. You're full of hot air.
Talking loud
and saying nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
Come on now.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. Are you long suffering with folk that get on your nerve?
Oh my goodness. I'm trying.
We're working on
it. Trying.
Do you know what I ask? I ask people, I say, have you ever disappointed yourself? You know what everybody say?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
And then I ask them this. Have you forgiven yourself? And they say,
of course.
But then why haven't you forgiven that brother that disappointed you? And you haven't talked to him for a year. You've forgiven yourself. Yeah. You disappointed yourself?
Yeah.
He disappointed you. You disappointed me. I have nothing more to say. Have mercy. You disappointed yourself. I disappointed myself. I made bad decisions. At the end of the day, I have regrets. I disappointed myself. I could have done better. I could have done better with my job. I could have done better. I disappointed myself.
Uh-huh.
But you know, that's me. I'm all right. I ain't got nothing to say to you. You know, married folks sometimes walk around lying in bed, touch each other's feet.
Don't touch
me. Haven't said anything to each other in 3 days.
Look at that now.
But love, suffering,
love.
I've even said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long suffering, peace. And but you were the Holy Ghost, right? You full of a ghost, but it sure ain't holy. Come on, say amen. Do you know the Bible makes mention your children, they're not you. Be patient with them. I can say, as I stand here now, that my children and my children outside of DNA can say that I never slapped them. I went the extra mile with them. Amen, Carmen. Amen, Kevin. I never judged them based upon their wrong. I never slapped them. I never downed them. No direct derogatory words have ever come out of my mouth saying, you look, you'll never do it. Have I ever said any of that, Lorraine?
No.
Let your children know that you respect and love them and treat them the way you want to be treated. You're stupid. You're nothing. Those words have never. I remember when Josh, who loves to jump with Ken, about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, they were on the garage. And Lorena was looking out the back door. And I'm like, what is she looking at? And she shouted out, and she said, don't be stupid. I said, Lorena, don't call them stupid. I'm not calling them stupid. They're acting stupid. I said, well, what are they doing? They're jumping off the garage. Whee! Whee! And I said, well, okay, that's a little dumb. They could break their legs. They're jumping off the what?
The roof of the garage.
Yeah, jumping off the roof of the garage. No, not the house. You all were talking about the house. That is stupid. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know. But when I said, don't even make reference to stupid, and she didn't call them stupid. She said, don't act stupid. That was kind of stupid. But don't act. But I was so firm on don't even make reference to stupid.
Thank you.
And I told Lorena, I said, you've been chosen from birth. I told Joshua, I named you Joshua because you're a leader. I kept in my children's ear the greatness that's in you. I kept in my children's ear, God is with you. He weighs every choice. The DNA children and the non-DNA children, who are my children just as much, and I love them just as much as my DNA.
Well, I'm still your favorite.
But you know, certain ones are my favorite.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What am I saying? How do you treat your spouse? This is going to be a series. I'm going to have to preach 2 or 3 weeks on this, I see.
Right.
How do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your mother and your parents? And my dad, who dogged me out, but I changed his dirty, cancerous diapers for 5 or 6 months and moved him in the house that he kicked me out of. The Bible didn't say, honor your parents, your father, and your mother, if they do right.
Come on now.
He didn't say obey. He says honor them. They may take you to do something wrong, but still what?
Honor.
You claim to have a Holy Ghost? How do you treat your children?
Come on, that's Holy Ghost.
You claim to have a Holy Ghost? How do you treat your spouse? You claim to have a Holy Ghost? How do you treat the elderly? Do you know Spirit of Prophecy said, if you don't respect the elderly, you break the Fifth Commandment because they are fatherlike and motherlike. Honor. You're going to say, shut up, get out of my face. You ain't got nothing to say to me. And they can raise your nest behind and change your diapers.
Come on,
yes. Yeah,
long suffering. I'm going to preach this in a 2 or 3 series because we got to hear it. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. And this word, nobody understands. This word, no one understands in prison. We're going to pray that Chris gets that off. Amen. Nobody understands. Oh, somebody else really kind. Nobody understands this.
Time. Oh, boy. You ain't no kid. You
nobody understands that.
Nobody understands the word kind.
To what? Amen, Eric? Eric's my nephew. I make sure that I bridle my tongue. Sometimes Eric challenged me and I stopped from speaking emotionally. And I said, how would I want to be treated?
Be kind.
Be kind.
To one another.
To one another. That's my mother. That's my father. That's my wife. I can proudly stand here and look dead in my wife's face And I can say it. And she can say it. That I totally respect and honor. Am I right? Totally respect. Long suffering, but a full of holiness.
The Bible says, charity suffers long and is kind. I remember one day I got up to preach, and I forgot to kiss my mother before I started. And she had almost had tears in her eyes. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? You didn't kiss me before you started. Long. Kind. Benevolent. Filled with the Holy Spirit. A tree is known by the fruit.
That it bears.
That it bears. What kind of fruit you have. Shut up talking to me, even though you can break that thing down like a doctor. And I can see the fruit of kindness and mercy and long suffering. Oh, you may be able to break it down, but let me tell you something, honey. The devil can break down the Bible. Every single day, I call my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, and I pray with her every day about 6 in the morning. You know what she said this morning when I called her up? Hey, honey, happy Sabbath. I said, happy Sabbath, Mom. Praise the Lord. And then when we finished praying, you know what she said before? I said it. Holy kisses to the Lord. And let his name be praised forever. Amen. She said, oh, Lord, thank you for calling me. I said, I love you, Mom. I love you too. I was at Peach Produce. And I saw this rotisserie chicken. All baked and all juicy looking.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember how they used to taste. I'm going to make a tan now. I bought it. And I brought it over to her. And she said, a chicken. And she received that rotisserie chicken and ate it. When I come to my mother's house, I spend time with her and my dad almost every Saturday night. My mom said, you know that you're your dad's best friend. He's my stepdad. And he loves sports. I don't care how tired I am. When I'm over there Saturday night, he has a big thing of popcorn by the chair downstairs. And he's like, are you ready to like sports? And so I don't care how tired I am. I said, Dad, I'm ready. And I'll sit down and watch the sports. And then sometimes because I'm so tired on Sabbath, you know, I hear him say, Mom, this is the best part. Aren't you eating your popcorn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Kind.
Love is kind.
It's going to be nice.
You know what the Holy Ghost told me? Carmen been on my mind for days. And I remember looking in her face saying, I want to come to church. I've been on the road since 6:30 in the morning because Corey was going through a few challenges. So I hopped in my car and had on my suit at 6:30 in the morning and drove to Kankakee. And I said, where's Corey? He's not here right now. And Josh is in the back praying with Rachel, as tears down her eyes, saying there's some challenges. But Corey's all right. And when I went in the house, I said, where's Corey? And I went in the house to make sure that Elder Eric was all right.
Amen.
He's here with a split.
Amen.
But we went to his house a couple of times last week to make sure that he's all right.
Amen.
But after driving for the past 4 or 5 hours, the Lord put on my mind, Carmen, but these two are about to get married. So I went and picked them up, and I said, come on. The doorbell wasn't working. I banged on the door. Kevin came to the door, wrapped his arms around me, and wouldn't let me go. Dad! They're here today.
Amen.
People may not be 100% what they should be, but they shouldn't measure up to your standard of what they think they should be before you show them up.
Amen.
not make all the decisions. She can't give up in age. Things may be irritant to her, but I'm going to be patient and long-suffering because this is my mother. And the Bible says there are 10 commandments, not suggestions. And the Bible says, honor your father and honor your mother. You think you got the Holy Ghost? You think the Lord is working with you? But the Bible says, gather those that are made a covenant with me by love.
By sacrifice.
By love. I'm an evangelist. This place can have a lot more people. But the few that are here, I just work with. I just work with. Work with each other. Be long-suffering with one another. Be kind to one another. And show the evidence of what, everybody?
The fruits of the Spirit.
Three of a kind. I only have a little bit. I'm going to make this two. Eros, in the Greek, eros means desire, longing. It's erotic. Eros means I love you because you're fine. I love you because you're fine like wine. I love you because of how you're built. I love you, and that's the truth. But if we've been married for 30 years, I'm ready to give you a divorce. Because it's sagging, flagging, and wrinkling. But love is based upon Jesus. I love you. You what? I lust you. Wait, you said what? I lust you. You what? I lust you. L-U-S-T. That's not how you spell
love.
Ooh, woman, you know I love you. Then 30 years later, ooh, woman, move. You're blocking the TV. I don't think one day goes past that I don't compliment my wife. Not one. Men, be about your business.
That's true.
Let them know that you're as fine as good wine every day. Don't be lazy. You got to work at love the same way you worked at getting love.
That's right.
Oh, baby, you know I have. Here's some flowers. You know, man, we're going to lunch. And once you get her, you walk around with sleep in your eyes, your hair.
What's
for dinner? Wait, you live like that when you were going on a date? Come on, say amen.
Yeah.
My wife used to say, where you going? Nowhere. Well, then why you getting up? And why you going? Why you combing your hair? Because I want you to remember why we got married and never forget.
Oh, okay.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Eros is, and this is Greek. Eros is love because you like how they look. Erotic. Lust. Yeah, eros is a root word, is erotic. Amen. Philios at the bottom, that's a love based upon a brotherly love. Or love based upon experience. Meaning, I love you because of what you do for me. I love you because you always make life a little bit better for me. I love you because you always help me with the bills. I love you because you have some food there. I love you because of what you do for me and the experience that we have. That's the reason I love you. And what is that? Filio. But agape, in the Greek, is love in action. And you know what agape love is interpreted? Agape love is interpreted as charity. And so when ministers say, change this word, love, no. Charity in the Greek is agape. Agape And I don't care what you do.
I
love you anyway.
Thank you.
Agape is when you nail me to a cross and I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Come on now.
Agape said, though you beat me, though you slay me, what Job said, yet shall I love and yet shall I trust you. Agape is godly. Agape is divine. Agape is saying, no matter what you do, I got love for you. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
It's not lustful. It's not, I love you because. Agape said, I love you, which is divine. Jesus said, Father, he said seven things while on the cross. Jesus did. And out of those seven things, only maybe two he said in reference to himself. I'll thirst, and Father, why have thou forgiven me? Forsaken me, brother. But everything else, Jesus said, Father, forgive them.
They know not what they do.
No
strings attached.
John, take care of my mother, who is not your mother. Mother, this is your son. He stopped dying and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't worry about it. It's all good to the thief on the cross. I mean, Jesus was up on the cross preaching.
Come on now.
Whew. Agape. He was preaching. He said, I know I'm suffering. And I got nails in my hand. But I love you.
No, no, no.
I know that you're doing me what the way you're doing me, but you're ignorant. You don't know who I am. You don't know that I'm the Word made flesh. You don't know that I'm the image of the one true invisible God. You don't know that I'm a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You don't know that in me contain all righteousness. You don't know that my blood's gonna save all mankind. And because of your ignorance, don't worry about it. I forgive you. Agape. Agape. Say it with me. Agape.
Agape.
Charity.
Charity.
Love in
action.
I don't believe in divorce.
I look at my wife and I say, let me make some modifications. If she did this or did this or did that. If she did this or did that. I don't think my love for her can grow. Because my love is here. Does she like perfection? She stayed with my crazy behind all these years.
Yeah.
And I ain't perfect. No. Love for her is not based upon what she does or will do. It's based upon, I made a vow with God. And not only am I going to keep it, but I'm going to relish it and say, I love you, Agape. You claim to have the Holy Ghost? You better re-examine.
Or keep your mouth shut when you say, I love you. Talk is cheap. Show me.
Proof is in the pudding.
I said, show me.
Show me.
Show me your love.
Show me.
Love said, let me get my behind up and go see about Corey. Love says, my brother's suffering. Let me go see about him. Love said, there's a tear on my mother's cheek. Love said, let me see about my daughter. Love said, let me prove my love to my wife. Shut up. If you don't show it.
When I went to Cabrini, I said, let me die. I said that in my prayer. Let me die. But let this be a victory for your glory. Agape means charity. The Bible says this, and then I'll close. And I'm going to continue this next week. I said to myself, when my father take his last breath, Cindy, and when those that I love are not around, I want to be able to set the trail. I showed you real love. And it didn't lack at all. Ooh.
Do you know what I told the elders, Charles? I told all the elders, Charles, when it comes to winning souls and bringing them into this ministry, don't try to win arguments. Because you win an argument and lose a soul.
That's right.
It's not about who's right and who's wrong. Let them see in you love. And you can't fool people. They would have shot me to death in Cabrini, 47th Street, and I'd be well. If they didn't look in my face and said, this man is real. And you know what they did? Sister Woodall can testify. Sister Woodall from 47th Street. She lived over by Hyde Park. Do you know what they did? The gangsters and the El Rukins, you know what they did? You cross over the street, you are dead somebody. You know what the El Rukins and the disciples did? They came together and made an agreement. And the sergeant of police came to the tent and says, since your tent's been up, there's been no violence. And the El Rukins and the disciples made an agreement, leave the preacher alone. If he's on your side or on our side, oh boy, it's for real. Leave him alone. And El Rukin said, cool. Disciples said, cool. Leave him alone. And when they jumped on me on the east side, on 75th Street, they didn't know me over there. And they beat me down. About 13 guys beat me down and stung me. My face was all bloody. They stung me and beat me. Do you know the guys from Green, 47th Street, I'd be Wells, Robert Taylor, heard about it, Kevin. And they said, it's on. Tell us who they are. And tell us where they are. And a group of guys came together and came to me and said, where are they? And I was this close to say, because I told my mom, to say, don't beat them up, take me to them. And then I was going to point them out and say, him are the leaders. And I was going to say, get them and take me to a field and send them to me one at a time. I'm from Chi-Town. No, y'all jumped on me, 13 strong. Send them to me one at a time. Send them to me one at a time. You ain't got to beat them up. Come at me one at a time. And I was this. You remember seeing my black eye?
I remember too.
My eye was black?
Yes.
I called my mother. My mother picked me up. You know what my wife said? When I called her up, said, I just been beat up. Do you know what she said? My wife said, did you bite back?
That's what my
sister said. I said, did I bite back? She said, I know you, Juan. I know you. Did you bite? I said, no. I just said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I had to let it go. And I shed tears and said, now I know how women feel when they're raped. It's about, I'm going to dominate you and hurt you. And when I went to take my mother to the dentist, come to find out, her dentist was right there where I was beat up. And I remember they came running. And I was with the guy and I went over there. I called the bus because my car was down. And I was over there to help him. When those guys came running at us, 13, 14 of them, the guy that was with me ran. And he asked me later, why didn't I run? I said, I don't know what running in my feet. But they came up to me and pushed me, and my hand went through a glass plate window of a nursery. And I went to this day why I didn't get cut. But I turned around and I said, in Jesus' name. They said, Allah, bam, and hit me in the mouth. And I remember one reason why I wanted to fight them is because I said, if I would have hit them, they would have been knocked out. He hit me and just busted my lip. And that made me mad for real. Say, you old woman hitting man, you're going to bust me in the mouth? And I was saying that for real. But I turned around, all these guys jumped on me and beat me. And when I went to take my mother to the dentist, I'm for sure and full of conviction that one of the guys, one of the main guys that kicked me in the back, one of the main leaders, was standing by a pole. Remember I told you, Mom? I said, that's one of the guys. My mother said, just leave him alone. And what did I do? My mother went in the place. He was standing right here next to the pole. And I went like this. Went up in his face like this. He was like, and I want him to say, I remember you. I want him to say, I remember you. I was saying, remember me to myself. And he just went like that. I want him to say, or have a look in his face, that he remembered me, so I can bust him up and sit him when the sun gonna shine. Do you remember me? He just stepped back. I said, okay, he doesn't remember me. Let me go on in the dentist and leave him alone. Sisters and brothers, the same attitude that I have about the streets of Chicago, I have about serving Jesus. Because the Lord says two things. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love me, feed my sheep. And the Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments. Love God and keep his commandments. And I said, everybody here, don't fear anybody. And love God. Don't fear anybody. And do what? I'm going to read this and continue next week. I'm done. I went too far and too long already. The Bible says, and this whole chapter talks about love, everybody. But verse 11 confuses me. Verse 11 confuses me. Let me tell you why. Read it. When I was a child,
I understood as a child.
Go ahead.
And I thought as a child.
Uh-huh.
But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Now I ask myself, why in the world, this whole chapter is talking about love, love, love. And then all of a sudden, Shamari, bam, when I was a child, I spake as a child.
I thought as a child.
Acted like a child.
But now that I'm a man.
Put it away. I put away child. And I said, what does that have to do with love? The whole chapter is talking about love. Then one verse. And you know what I came to the conclusion? Children don't know how to love.
They don't have
it takes maturity to love.
You got to grow up.
Just leave me alone. Don't touch me. Come on now. Just leave me alone.
I do what I want.
I wish I had married you. I hate you.
I became a man.
I hate you. And the Lord showed me why he put that one verse
in there. A lot of people aren't mature.
That talks about. And I tell all the brothers, I say, chill out. Women are emotional. Women fuss. The Bible says it's better to be on a rooftop than a house with a fussy woman.
That's what the book says.
But I say this to the men. What's your excuse?
Uh-oh.
I can see women saying, but when you see a man, when you see a man like a woman, something wrong with that picture. I don't act like that. The pastor got this serious talking about love. He sure opened up my eyes. He showed up telling the
truth.
11. But I put away
childish things.
And then it gets to the verse 12. Read.
For now we see through a glass darkly.
Read.
But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Read.
And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Agape. It's time to grow up. Say agape with me again.
Agape.
Agape. Say it again.
Agape.
Agape means maturity, control of your anger, kindness. And if you feel that people don't like being around you, ask yourself, will you want to be around yourself? Oh, y'all didn't catch that.
I got you. Oh, God.
I wouldn't want to be around myself. I must admit.
I wouldn't want to be around me either if I was like that.
Charity is love in action. Hope is faith in action. And I'm done. Charity, say it with me.
Charity
is love in
action.
Faith, hope is
faith.
Hope is nothing but
faith in action.
Faith in action. And faith that what? Endures.
Progress.
Hope is nothing but faith that
endures.
Endures.
To the end.
Progress.
Endures. Endures. That's all hope is. Endures. Faith that endures. Charity is love in action. And charity is actually defined in the Greek as agape, the kind of love that is divine. And I ask this question as I pray, as my son comes up in the appeal. Do you have agape?
No.
I want everybody right now whose parents think about your children. If your child is next to you, hold their hand or something. Everybody, hold your child's hand. How do you treat them? You treat them the way you want them to be treated? Mm-hmm. If you're young? Now I gotta ask children, how do you treat your parent? Do you treat your parent with respect? Not because she does everything right, but because of God's saying honor. Now spouses, come on up here, Lorraine. Come on up here. Sister Cindy, go by your husband. Come on. Sister Cindy was sitting right here, Eric, giving her component and busted out crying because of you. Stand by your husband and hold his hand. Now I'm saying to the spouses, how do you treat them? How do you treat them? You all about to get married. How do you treat them? How do you treat him? Do you know what Shamari did? Shamari said, Dad, go back to your wife. Go.
Get over there.
Do you know what Shamari said? Shamari said, Dad, I did not know how to treat women. And he used to be kind of fussy with his grandmother and stuff. Now every time he sees his grandmother, he said, honey bun, love, sugar pie. Oh my, how you doing, Ma? How you doing, Grandma? He said, I did not know how to treat women until I saw how you treat your wife, your mother, and your daughter, and your granddaughter, and your granddaughters, the daughter's son. Hold your spouse's hand. Your spouse-to-be hand. Love should have increased, not diminished.
Thank you.
Amen.
And what it took to get that person, it takes to keep that person. Do you know what? Women, they found, commit adultery because they want love and to be felt special. Men commit adultery because of lust, and they want to feel like a man. Ego. So women, stroke your husband's ego
And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. So this sermon, the three, how do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your parents? Because you know what? The devil has us. It is nothing that's bound at home. Because whatever division is at home, you bring it to the church. Whatever is divided at home, you bring that spirit with you to the church. Am I right, Lauren? Some of the brothers from Beijing came, and we were studying. We were studying in the conference room. My wife came in. I said, "This is my wife." I said, "Oh!" I said, "Ain't she fine?" And they went, "Ah." One of the guys said, "Yeah, she good looking." And she said, "One, don't do that to me." But in private and in front of folk. Tell your wife, "Ain't she fine?" Say,
"Ain't she fine?"
Husbands, now what I say, "Ain't my husband a punk?"
Ain't my husband a punk. He's a punk. And he gives me money. Amen.
Bible said, "Don't add on to it and don't take away." I don't recall that he gave me money.
When I need it,
that's what it was.
And I sure know how to spend it.
That's right. There you go.
I sure know how to spend
it. That's right. I'm out of here.
What
are
you doing?
Have a good day.
Pay the bills.
He pays the bills. Yes, he does.
Come on, Shamari. No, you're not sitting down. Wives?
Obey your husband.
Oh, yeah, see?
Here, I did not read that in script.
She said, "Obey your husband." Then I said, "Right." She said, "No, obey your husband." Eros, agape, and filio. How do you treat your husband, your wives, your children? Which one? Eros? You just like them because they're sexy. Man, they're sexy, but that's one reason you care for them. Agape? I love her because I just love her. Or him. Filio? I love him because of what he does for me. We only accept in this ministry. There's no room for anything else.
Amen.
The holiness of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In light of just the three series and the three of a kind, there are three men who the Bible called wise, and they came to see Jesus. And later on that night, the Lord told him that it's time to go home. But you know what he told him? He said, "Don't go back home the same way." So the only thing I'm saying is we came here to see Jesus. And nobody can go home the same way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you extended yourself from heaven to earth. And that, Father, in this very place, we can say, as Jacob did, that we have seen God face to face in our lives on this earth. Lord, I just thank you for just moving up and down the aisle and working with every single person, speaking to them, compelling them, as if he's the only soul in the world. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would keep the charge that has been committed unto us, even as we learned in Sabbath school, by pouring the word into us. Father, now that we have received this fire on Sabbath, we are instructed by your word to keep it burning through unbelief, through prayer, through Bible study, through fasting, through surrender, and through exercising what we have learned. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Father, somebody needs help. I'm not saying that all of us don't, because we do. But Lord, there is somebody specific under the sound of my voice that really, really needs help, that's struggling. Somebody may be struggling just to believe. Somebody may be struggling, dear Father, in whatever aspect. Struggling with addiction. Struggling, dear Father, with mental illness. Struggling, dear Father, with physical illness. Whatever the case may be, I pray, Lord, that you might do exactly what you did through your son when he was on earth. He passed through whole diligence, and there was not one moment of sickness. Do that in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, before his sake, we receive our faith. Amen. And God will pay in reverence and worship all the ways of the Lord.
In the name of Christ,
praise God. Praise God.